Bob Roof is a native Minnesotan and a longtime resident of Bloomington. A retired advertising executive and a U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel, specialist in psychological operations. He's the recipient of advertising, marketing, and book awards. His books are Minnesota Heat, as well as Endgame, a mystery thriller, and the sequel to that is called Mind Game. Bob Roof joins us in the KAXE studios now. Thanks for being here, Bob.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's start with Mind Game. Tell us about Commander Hank Hankson.
Hank is he doesn't fit the normal template, I think, for most detectives like Lucas Davenport or somebody like that on with John Sanford. He's not a brawler. He doesn't work in the gritty inner city or anything like that. He's from Bloomington, Minnesota. And Bloomington, even though it's the fourth largest city, I believe it still is, in Minnesota, it has a very low crime rate. In fact, the homicides, like I keep saying 1.3 homicides a year, and most of those are domestic, so there's no particular problem in solving them usually. So Hank is what they call a crimes against persons detective. And that's what Bloomington has. They don't even have a homicide. So anyway, Hank is tossed into these rather startling events that happen with serial killers in two books, Endgame and Mind Game. And he is kind of singled out as the guy that has to solve the problem, which is, he's you might say, out of place. I mean, you would think that somebody in the homicide division in downtown Minneapolis would be the one to tackle that, but he gets challenged by the killers in each case. They start in Bloomington, both of them.
So there are serial killers out there. What tell us the circumstances about these serial killings. What's in common between the people who have been
they're
killed?
They're both a rare type of serial killer. Most serial killers are... they select their victims at random, and usually it's a male killer stalking women, and that's the normal setup. But there are a very rare breed who are purposeful serial killers. They're not just doing things at random to kill. They have a purpose behind it, and that's what Endgame is all about. In my first mystery. Thriller, and you wonder what the end game is. It's okay. Kind of a mystery all the way through it. And in Mind Game, it's similar, and it's even more complicated.
Well, you seem like a very nice man. What interests you in this really dark sort
inside I'm evil, but. You know, it's just, I just wanted to keep it fast-paced, and serial killers do that because they keep killing.
Right.
So you always got something happening, and it marches a person through the book. But the other thing is that all my books have to do with Minnesota. They're all about Minnesota. They're about Minnesotans. They're about the Minnesota psyche. And I just like that. I like interesting places that a lot of Minnesotans don't even know about, like Devil's Kettle up on the North Shore, where water goes and nobody knows where it goes. And in Mind Game, everything in the end of the book, anyway, is built around the Kensington Runestone. Which a lot of Minnesotans don't know anything about, but it's really quite a fantastic story.
What's the Minnesota psyche that you mentioned?
I'm sorry?
Minnesota psyche? You use those terms.
Well, I wrote a book before I wrote any mystery thrillers called Minnesota Heat, because I traveled around the country a lot, and even around the world in my career. I was always getting heat about living in Minnesota. You know, it was always too cold in the winter, and mosquitoes would carry away in the summer and things like that. So to make myself feel better, I wrote Minnesota Heat, and it was how to combat that, how to deal with it, because Minnesota nice gets in the way. You know, you can't, you just say, oh, yeah, well, I guess that's you know, for us, you know, when somebody gets on you. My brother-in-law in Arizona is one of the worst, you know. He was just, you know, why are you insane living in Minnesota when you could be living down here in the garden spot of the world? That sort of thing. So it was kind of a feel-good book for me, and I wrote it tongue-in-cheek. But in writing it, I had to do all this research about things in Minnesota. So kind of, you know, you could call on these various things. So I had a vast amount of research on all these occurrences, structures, places in Minnesota, and that's what I based my mystery thrillers on. I already had the research to do that, so I just extended it.
What does research mean? Does it mean you get to take a lot of road trips to kind of check these places out?
Sometimes, okay. Yeah. I did a lot of that. I was up at Devil's Kettle, north of Grand Marais, so many times. I think somebody thought I was, or the locals probably thought I was transporting goods or something. I don't. But it's a long climb up there, and I got in good shape.
That's Bob Roof. We're talking with him about his mysteries. The latest is called Mind Game. So you've mentioned pace, but what do you think needs to be in a mystery for it to work? What makes a mystery?
Well, you just want to keep people guessing about what's happening or why it's happening and who's doing it. In both Mind Game and End Game, the serial killer is right under everybody's nose. I mean, right there, part of one of the characters, and you don't know that until you get to the end, and then I finally reveal it. And after writing Endgame, I kept questioning people, do you know, did you guess? I didn't get anybody that guessed who the killer was. So I did keep it secret. Another character in both books called the Rifleman, and he is a vigilante assassin. I can't say it any clearer than that. But he doesn't just shoot people that he doesn't like. They're bad guys. So he's weaving through all this, and you don't know who he is either, and he's just right there for everybody to know. And I kept asking, do you know who he is? I planted clues in the first book as to who he was. I planted 5 clues, and I thought you would know, you would determine who he was. People didn't.
Huh.
So in the second book, Mind Game, I reveal it right away. I say, here he is.
How do you go about plotting out your mystery? What's that process like when you're creating this story?
Well, every author is a little different. And with me, I'm kind of freewheeling about it. Some do a complete outline, like James Patterson does, Vince Flynn does. He does a big bio on all the characters, and so he knows that. He does a timeline. Both of them do that, a timeline through the whole story, so that this happens at a certain time and place. All that's done before they even start. I don't do any of that. I just have a vague idea of where I'm going to go, and I start. I just start writing. And then the characters kind of come alive, and they tell me what's going to happen next. I was really amazed the first, Endgame, the first book, how that happened.
Yeah, I love hearing that from authors. It's like you have to believe in those characters in order to hearing how real they feel to you so that you believe in them so you can follow them.
Right.
It's all out of your brain, though, which is really a fascinating process.
That, but, you know, when I think about when I'm writing about a particular character, the language and everything changes because they express themselves differently than somebody else in the book. Right. And they think differently than somebody else in the book. So, and it just comes natural for me it's easy for me to do that. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. I don't have to outline things ahead of time. The characters tell me where I'm going.
Are you a big reader? Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think that might have something to do with it?
I really don't know that. When I wrote Minnesota Heat, I had no intention of writing a mystery thriller, a fiction book. I thought I would probably write another nonfiction book. In fact, I started off one time trying to write a marketing book, because that's my background. And I bored myself to death. And then after reading one of John Sanford's books, I said, I wonder if I can write a book like that. And so that's how I did it. the two most inspirational authors for me were John Sanford and Nelson DeMille. But one thing I liked about both of them is they bring humor into their stories, even though the stories are serious. And so many mystery writers have no humor at all in their books. And I just kind of like that. I like, and then I can do interplay between the characters and things when they're doing dialogue between them and bring that in as well.
So you mentioned another character that was also in Endgame. Tell us a little bit about this Darcy Austin. She shows up in the new book as well.
Well, Darcy runs through both books. While Hank is the cop, she's the first murderer that takes place in Endgame. She's the one that discovers the body. And it's right in an advertising agency where she works. That advertising agency isn't really an advertising agency. It's a real office. It's a PR agency. And it's actually where Tom Horner, who ran for governor, is. That's where his office is. And I was up there one time, and I liked it. You know, I just liked the setting and everything. And that's what I describe in the book. And well, Darcy is the heroine, and she's in jeopardy in both books. And she's kind of the final victim, intended victim in both books. I thought if I was going to have a heroine, I'm really going to have a glamorous, good-looking heroine all the way. And so she's absolutely gorgeous. And the only one that can rival her is actually a rival of hers in the book. That they kind of fight all the way through this, both books.
We've been talking about the writing of it, but how do you get people then to read your books? What has this been like for you?
That's a complicated question. I do find that the people that read the book, or either book, have given me good feedback. I mean, they go out of their way to tell me they like the book. I get letters from people, I get emails, I get all kinds of notification like that. I would say the most difficult thing is trying to get your book displayed in the bookstores. And with books that are published by New York booksellers or publishers, actually pay for that display space in places like Barnes & Noble, and I can't do that. So I have to figure out ways to get it out there, get it exposed to the public. And I think that's getting much easier now through the internet. In fact, both of my books are in all the formats.
Okay.
All the ebook formats.
The latest one is called Mind Game. It's a follow-up to the novel called Endgame. People can find links or more information on your website? Is that right?
Yes, they can. Everything is there, and they can even order a book off my website.
It's bobroof.com. That's R-U-E-F-F. Bob, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.